is Shane Ivey, and I'm the editor of the new Delta Green role-playing game that we're pulling together. And just on time, here's the fourth, fifth of our, and the fifth. Yay, we have a super.
I have the best Delta Green excuse ever. I was writing bourbon. Beat that, Glancy.
I was writing Delta Green. His excuse is more writerly.
So once again, I'm Shane Ivey, and I'm editing the new game. And with me to talk about the new game are Adam Scott Glancy, Kenneth Hikes, Dennis Detweiler, Greg Stolze. And this is your writing team. The only missing ingredient is John Scott Tynes, who's not actually doing much heavy lifting on on the writing anyway.
I can actually speak to that. He's apparently driving a Ford playing Journey in a small town, singing along. That's last
night. Yeah. So what John is doing is staying actively involved in all the notes and discussions and theorizing and thematicizing that we've been doing for the last several years as we've been pulling this together, which has been extraordinarily welcome and challenging and gratifying. As the originator of Delta Green to begin with. I'm very happy to have him in the mix. In the mix now, 20 years later. So, I guess just to give kind of an overview, Delta Green is our treatment of Cthulhu mythos horror role playing in the modern day, and all of those things kind of each of those things kind of adds to. Adds to the setting and adds to what we're doing, and it means that Delta Green is actually a pretty specific way to play the game. Even in 1993, when the first Delta Green thing was published, it was a very particular way to play Call of Cthulhu. The opening of the scenario convergence kind of started with, here's how this is not going to be exactly what you expect from Cthulhu now, which at the time was a mere 6 years old, and therefore the current thing. So with Delta Green, the game is not just about the Cthulhu mythos and using that to explore cosmic terror and the sort of existential crises that can keep us all up at night, that are embodied by great squamous monsters working in the corners of space-time. It's modern day, and therefore it's also an exploration of power and the ways that we try to approach and use power to cope with existential crises that in the world of Delta Green are not just embodied by the great squamous monsters, but also the more human-shaped monsters, some of which we're pretty familiar with these days. And as a modern-day thing, it's a modern-day thing that's about the uses and abuses of power. The Delta Green role-playing game, it frankly reflects lot of issues that surround us on a daily basis. It's all about issues of the misuse of authority, or whether the strong use of authority is indeed a misuse of it to begin with. These are the issues that have sort of always shot through Delta Green from the very beginning are incredibly current. And they're present in today's headlines and today's internet discussions. We're having those arguments ourselves. So,
nice music from your butt.
The Lifetime Channel presents Scott Glenn's story.
We'll be getting to the Lifetime adaptation of Delta Greenway.
Sorry, Lisa Bonet.
And Scott Glenn's.
Himself. So the Delta Green role playing game, what it's going to actually be. Next year we're going to unleash the thing. It's going to be two books. For a while I dallied with outlining it as a single self-contained volume because I like the elegance of that. But then it turned out that was going to be something like a 600 or 700 page single self-contained volume, and I really didn't like lack of elegance of that.
We could make it.
We could if we wanted to.
But we're not going to.
It's been done, but I'm not doing it. So it'll be two books, and it'll be one book, and this part is not going to shock and surprise anybody, but one book will be primarily aimed at players and GMs, but it's going to be the Agent's Handbook, which has how to create a character, the basic rules of playing the game, skills, and what your the world of the player character is like from the point of view of the players, and then there's
so it'll be replete with lies.
Yes, and then there's going to be the case officer's handbook, which is all of the mythosy stuff. Starting with kind of the sort of quasi-official Delta Green treatment of the Cthulhu mythos, and also here's how you change it up if you have rude players who were considerate enough to also buy the case officer's book and read this thing through from one end to the other.
Those players should contact us sub Rosa for extra experience.
Yes.
Totally get up.
Yeah. And so the case officer's book then is going to have all kinds of the mythos information as well as ideas and suggestions on building your campaign and approaching the game, how to approach the game differently, whether you're just running a one shot or a series of one shots, or whether you're running an interconnected series of scenarios and missions that sort of build the narrative as it goes. That's going to be kind of the heart of magic, psionic, psychic powers, what those things mean in Delta Green's version of the Cthulhu mythos. All of that stuff's going to be in the case of this. And that's kind of the overview. From there, we're going to be spinning off into source books that explore things more fully that are treated in the core books, but we know which we're not going to have room to treat thoroughly, things like Pisces, what the world of Delta Green looks like outside of
from the Terrace. From the tent, the view from the tent.
Right, the view from the tent.
Well, the view from a tiny bird-like alien, slightly above the tent.
And that in the core rule books, that's going to, we're only going to have room for a few pages introducing that slice of the setting and how to play it, enough to kind of give you a taste of it and allow you to build a scenario, but the whole, it's going to get its own source book to talk about it in detail. And we luckily have Adam Crossing up here, who, with Scott Glancy, wrote the damn thing to begin with, way back in the
day. I wrote the thing to begin with. He just made better stuff.
All right.
And stapled it onto it.
Yes. I know, Scott did the root editing thing. I just checked it.
Oh, yeah. So the shirt's over.
So,
girls are really pretty short. Not surprisingly short.
That's what she said.
We'll also be developing the World War II treatment of Delta Green, which is going to be spun up as its own separate game as opposed to a source book, because the themes and the details were so going to be so unique to that it's going to be kind of clumsy to treat that as a supplement. The work on that has been developing in great depth for years and years and years, and we basically have had conversations every few years with, man, we've got a lot of great material for World War II. We should publish that. And boy, this is, we're also trying to develop the official thing. We ought to hold off on publishing another source book for it. And so it's been kind of percolating for ages and ages. A friend of ours, Gil Turizo, has been doing absolutely
brilliant,
genius work on that with the patience of a saint for many, many years. And so for more than one reason, I look forward to actually producing that thing at last. So, I think that's kind of the overview of what we're doing, you know, big picture wise as far as the product. Four books, and a source book, and lots of material coming on the internet for adventurers and characters and things to give people plenty of tools with which to play the game. And that all is going to be starting in the middle of next year. And we're looking forward to probably running a Kickstarter program several months out to cope with the manufacturing costs and some of the other fixed costs that we're going to have to contract out with people that aren't as pleased with not getting paid, which we all seem to
I would say tolerant rather than please.
See, Scott's totally different than me. He's assuming money enters into it. Wait, there's money? I didn't understand that at all. I thought you just kind of wrote for free.
Well, only in sums too infinitesimal to be seen from your perspective.
Your Earth money is similar to what we call wealth.
Only smaller.
Only much smaller.
In the meantime, we've also got a fiction collection called Failed Anatomies that's coming together that is going to be at first anchored primarily by stories that Dennis has been writing for the last couple of years, a lot of which she's been posting online. We posted some during the Through the Glass Dark Kickstarter program. It's kind of giving skips. And what Dennis has already been putting together is sort of they're kind of a cross section of Delta Green operations over the course of the 20th century to the 2000s when things started to really get complicated. So when we launch that, we're going to be doing a Kickstarter for that probably in the next month or two. And then as that takes off, we'll be adding stretch goals to add additional stories from the likes of Scott Lance and Greg Stoltz and me and
ne'er-do-well Canadian.
Robin.
Yeah.
Robin Laws.
Oh, of course, yeah. Robin Laws has already got it. Give but written two stories that are going to be sort of bookends for the collection, leading into it and being out of it. So that's going to be coming in the next couple of months in the stories that are already in place. Very fun, very, very what else? Big picture ones? Yeah. Okay, I think that's
the part where you give out my email address. So that everyone can say, God damn it, Lindsay. Why are you holding up the show?
Right.
Like that, there's a slide, right?
Yeah.
There's an email address.
Not his email address, it's his liquor store's email address.
Cut this shithead off. Actually, no, it's his wife's email.
No, hey, wait a minute.
That's not part of the chain.
James would love this.
Yeah, so Dennis is getting better and better.
Dennis is spilling our secret weapon.
That's right, Clancy. She's in her pocket.
She's called the long con, my friend.
Curses.
Have the seats. We're going to be here a while.
What else? So as far as the rules and how the rules are going to work. We've talked about this. You know, we talked about this a little bit last year. It's essentially you start from Call of Cthulhu, and then we've been, well, we spent the last couple of years, especially Greg and me, kind of bolting on things that we thought, man, this is going to be cool. This is a great Delta Rune thing. This is going to be, and then it ended up this huge Frankenstein monster, and now we're in the stage of actually chopping crap off because it's
It sounded worse in my head.
So character is
in, like in his head.
In the Delta Green role playing game are going to look very, very familiar. You know, they're the way skills work is going to look very familiar. They're sort of consolidated and you know, grouped together in ways that will make them a little easier to pick and select and use. But it's none of that is really reinventing the wheel. You know, it's a wheel that works pretty well. They'll have sort of additional wrinkles. The fact that characters' personal lives are going to be front and center. We want you to define what makes your character tick, and what your character relies on to get sanity points back when you don't have the luxury of going to a psychiatrist for help and telling the truth.
Take it out on your children. That's like everybody.
And of course, unlike going to psychiatrists when you actually you have your personal life is always at risk. I mean, that's the thing that ideally your character is sort of out to protect, but it's also the first thing that starts falling apart when your character is more and more exposed to missions and to what you're doing and don't agree. And that tension is going to be a key part of the game. In a way that it's been sort of in the background of the game and sort of assumed and unstated all along. We wanted to make it primary.
Explicit.
Yeah. We're also, Greg developed some rules for sort of running your slice of whatever organization you're running, and that's something
that we're kind of hammering.
Yeah.
So you don't have to start inside.
Should I?
Yeah.
Should I even talk about this? Okay.
Go right ahead.
All right.
There's a microphone. Stoltzy? There's no microphone.
Speak into this stuff. I was informed there'd be no moving around.
Yeah.
We all have to speak.
You were not.
We've altered the agreement, Ken. Right? We don't alter the burden.
Right.
So what I've been doing with mechanics for Delta Green, a lot of what I've been doing is looking at BRP and, just give this a little nip and tuck, but pretty much you're going to be able to port characters over pretty easily from old Delta Green games or across from other Call of Cthulhu games. It's not stupendously different in this. Not in the door.
You're not going to do that. I'm the one who knows.
Ah.
Mudden, don't forget to hand up your ticket. All right, so the core mechanics of how your character does things are largely going to stay the same. The rules for motivations, as Shane was talking about, are going to, on one hand, be another source of strength, but in the same way that everything's at risk, it's another resource you can lose. It's another thing that can turn into the chain around your neck. But what I think is going to be really interesting to people is the organizational rules. And you'll be able to stat up cells and cabals and conspiracies and have them in the same way that characters roll off against each other. You'll have these big groups that can subsume one another. Or, I'm going to cut their funding. I'm going to cut the throat of their mole inside our organization. And then the next guy they said is going to be too busy covering his tracks to be very effective. How you like me now? So you stat up a bunch of stuff in your cell, many of the qualities being sort of oppositional
that you can't have a conspiracy that is simultaneously really, really big and really, really tightly constrained about its information. They just don't work. You can't have one that is extremely legitimate and extremely ruthless. So you're going to have to pick one, because if you want to be the guys who are like, hey, why don't we just jot these dudes out and then go get meatball subs? And the other guy says, oh, not meatball subs. That is going to limit your ability to, you know, go to people and say, yes, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you, and have them actually not laugh and slam the door in your face. So that is how the cells work, and, you know, they get bigger and bigger, and once you get up to the big, sprawling, bloated size, they can automatically do the stuff that the little tiny cells that players run, they can do those, you know, automatically without a role, so they become really ripe for corruption and, oh, well, you know, I know for a fact that if I buy a car through the, that, you know, I can get this great car given to me by the conspiracy and I will never get caught and no one will even care. And don't I deserve it? So that sort of thing happens and is now supported by the rules. So work hard, succeed, and you too can steal a car. Should I tell about kill damage?
Yeah, it's something we're still sort of exploring and playtesting. But one of the
this is something I love, and something that you know, I think Scott has some reservations about. But the maybe not, maybe Scott's on board. But the idea is that, as I was, you know, I played in Scott's games, and classic Call of Cthulhu BRP is highly optimized. You work great at the revolver and meat cleaver level of combat. But when you want to use something like an M2 machine gun to hose down a bunch of rowboats, as, you know, an example that this gentleman will remember,
yeah,
it becomes really clumsy, because it's like, okay, roll to see if you hit the first boat. Okay, you hit the first guy, see how many people you hit in the first boat. Okay, see, roll your 15d6 damage against them. The rest of you may want to go get a drink. And so I've tried to simplify this in that, you know, big weapons of the kind that are increasingly common in our militarized world,
in schools,
and our, you know, militarized law enforcement, and our sprawling foreign adventures in the military.
Babysitting. Foreign adventures and babysitting. That's what it is.
Nobody leaves here unless
the same. So the idea is that now it just has a percentage chance of straight up killing. And if that fails, then it does some damage. And then it actually does a lot of damage. But, you know, from the 10% kill percentage of the little hand grenade up through, you know, big stuff that does 95% and, you know, hits 1 to 10 targets every turn. That gives you, you know, the illusion of security that so many want in a militarized horror game. because there are physical entities that can only be harmed by kill damage. You know, it hurts them a lot less, but stuff that, you know, the 1d10, 2d6 kind of stuff, no, that just bounces off of them. If you want to hurt them, you are going to need something vehicle mounted. And I wanted a clean, slick way to do that. I wanted, you know, and so you combine this with the rules for having your organization do something, and you get rules that help the GM when the players say, can't we just call in a drone strike? And actually the answer is, well, no, you can't, but there is a military, there's an Air Force base nearby that has trainer aircraft with a V-16 Vulcan on the nose mount. So we could have that there for 45 minutes and say it was a training exercise.
A training accident.
You the fire.
There's no one alive on the farm. No one human. Good. We're good to go. We're sending the Vulcan. So that's what I've been doing for Delta Green, that and bashing together the skill descriptions and the first scenario. So that's what's coming.
Yeah. All right, so.
Oh, man. Ken ran away because he didn't want to stand up and walk to the podium. That's a poor piece of advice.
Remember all that drinking he said he was doing?
All right. So which one of you guys is up now?
I don't know. Let's see here.
What about you? Paper, scissors, lizards.
Nose goes.
All right. Let's see here. I guess one of the things I'll talk about all here is that. I don't know. We not only last year we never really confirmed that what we've got is two Delta Greens. Did we confirm that last year?
Yes.
I think we talked about that a little bit. Yeah.
We did. Whatever you say now is true until we change it again.
Oh, good. Thank you. Thank goodness.
Delta Green. The truth is what we say it is.
Of course. Well, you know, when we did this panel last year, we did not know how many exciting new Delta Green supplements the Obama administration was writing.
That's the one thing we've been very lucky in, that we've got every news story is like, you know, okay, well, great. Now we've got new material.
Yes.
One thing that we
thanks, marketing department.
The one thing we've definitely learned is that when it comes to these two Delta Greens, there is going to be kind of a weird generational thing. The official budgeted. You have insurance. You have a clearance written on the Delta Green Special Access Program.
There's
an letterhead in an office. Those guys are going to have all of the cool toys, obviously. And there's one thing that the last, 6 months of news cycle has told us that the unofficial Delta Green is not going to have cell phones. They're not going to have cell phones or computers or digital anything or Facebook accounts.
We're lucky to have one time.
They're going to be, for that Delta Green, it's going to be 1955 all over again. Which is actually wonderful for us because if there's one thing we can find tons of information on when it comes to tradecraft, it's old-timey tradecraft. The material that exists out there on early Cold War and OSS vintage World War II tradecraft, there's mountains of that material. So surviving in a world with, again, one-time pads, physical handoff meets no burst transmitters, things like that were, again, all passe by the 21st century. All that stuff's going to be sort of the bread and butter of your unofficial culture. Will certainly have an appeal to all of us gray-haired gamers. Showing these young whippersnappers what it was really like back in the day when we knew how to be real spooks and not rely on all these toys and gadgets. Meanwhile, the gadgets are, of course, endlessly entertaining and endlessly compromised. So,
and usually useless.
And ultimately useless. I mean, they're useful. You get the algorithm picks the mission out of all the email traffic. You're alerted to the problem. You're bam on the Black Hawk. You're there in hours and you're dead in minutes. Meanwhile, the old funny duddies from the unofficial Delta Green are going through a news clipping service that they hired. This article seems a little odd. And they drive out there in their three times removed rental car, and they can see the column of smoke from the Black Hawk, that arrived days before, and it gives them that, a heads up, So there's that aspect to it. The big thing that we're trying to do, we want to communicate to you guys, is that with this game, we're trying to launch this and make sure that we present it not so much as. Not so much as a dip into nostalgia for the previous game. Right? The previous game was very much mired in a zeitgeist that is gone. So all the reasons that the Greys have disappeared from the Delta Green universe, and even Majestic has disappeared from the Delta Green universe. In the 90s, we existed in a world where, with no Soviet Union around, we looked around for the enemy, and the only thing we could see was the government. Government was separate from us. It was this big thing that was a black box that we apparently believe that we have no influence or control over. One of the things that I've said this in the last thing, one of the things about the Cold War is that when we had the Cold War, the government did all kinds of nasty things to win the Cold War and never told us about it, which provided us, the American public, with plausible deniability. We could go, oh my God, you overthrew a government in South America? That's terrible.
I am shocked.
Shocked!
To find covert operations going on here. How dare you manipulate elections? How dare you, organize the military to, DM to assassinate, President Diem in South Vietnam? And
I wouldn't call it organized, Bob.
But that is not the world we find ourselves in today. Today we find ourselves in a world where the government publicly has a debate on not only on whether or not we should be waterboarding, but just how much water should we be using. The kind of things that
would tap water, or
salt water, Dasani.
That's right, Dasani.
Yeah. I prefer Ester.
That's right.
We've gotten good results from Ester. We have a world where denying that secret prisons where people are indefinitely detained exist, instead of denying that, we actually have a public debate about whether there are enough people that were detained indefinitely. And the difference between that is in the original game, we had Majestic as that symbol of the government out of control. That was the scary government that we were always afraid of that was hooked into the military-industrial complex. This new game is that you're going to have to take responsibility for the things that out of control of government is doing. You're going to be in the driver's seat in this game as members of the budgeted official Delta Green. If things are nasty and horrible in this world, it's because you made it that way, right? You're now implicated in these crimes. Or maybe you're not implicated in the crimes. Maybe you played nice, but is the world a better place because you played nice? And that is completely different. I mean, that's the zeitgeist I think we find ourselves in this eternal war on terror TM. We find ourselves locked in today. And so that's what's going to be driving background and the source material. It's not going to be, again, sort of a nostalgic retrospective of what the game used to be. We're trying to deduce what the game would look like had we sat down, 2 months ago. That rambling sums up.
As you say, luckily for us, the real world has kept generating good material.
Yeah. Lucky
making it
for us.
More and only for you.
And only for us. Not lucky for other people so much.
There are some people who might not appreciate it as much as we
do. Do we have any other canned statements, or should we be throwing this open to the floor?
Where are we? 7:40. I think we can sort of throw it open. Ken and Dennis here, certainly kind of
address. No, your answer is no. It says you have lines right here.
The specific the ways we're kind of approaching the Cthulhu mythos and how the nature of Delta Green as a game setting kind of conforms to the way we treat the mythos. And I think that's kind of worth addressing if you'd like to talk about that a little bit, or Dennis, if you would, but otherwise I think we can just sort of take a field of questions.
Well, I'll do it real fast, but I'm not going to go up there.
I'm from Sydney.
Scott eventually got around to saying, we are trying to take this as though we're starting Delta Green in 2014 or 2013, and we're starting it from a perspective of, we're telling a story of timeless horrors about our time. That's the whole point of doing a Cthulhu Mythos story in the modern day, is to reflect our time. And we're not looking back at the, hilarious to us giant cell phone paranoia of the X-Files. We're looking at the paranoia that we're living with every day, one way or the other. I mean, whether it's, Boston bombers or Al-Qaeda or at the NSA or giant terabyte storage facilities in Utah, or the fact that, the Canadians of all people are reading our mail. I mean, whatever it is, there's something that makes you squicky and uneasy about the universe. It might be corporations, it might be China, it might be Chinese corporations, But we're trying to take those terrors, those fears, those concerns, and translate them to the mythos in the same way that Lovecraft translated his idiosyncratic fears and concerns through the mythos, in the same way that Tynes and Scott and Dennis did in the 1990s with their now quaint-seeming fears and concerns. And so the goal for us has been not necessarily to sever all connection to the past, because that's not Lovecraftian either, but to say the world changes, the world moves on, the greys are done with project screw with the norms and have moved on. We've got the cult of transcendence has fallen apart. But everything about our old world has changed because really that's the reality we're living in. Everything about our world has changed. So we are asking new questions, and it turns out that if you look at the Cthulhu mythos, there's always something horrible wherever you look, that being the whole point. So when we look at the rise of China, we can look at things like the terrible empire of San Chan, which is doomed to replace us in 5000 AD. Now, there are beings in the Cthulhu mythos that see things across eons of time, and they may be saying, well, San Chan's a lot easier to work with because there's only one language and everyone already knows magic, we don't waste a lot of time, so maybe they're sort of, you know, laying some groundwork. We don't know what's going on as us, we know as DG what's going on, but Delta Green doesn't know, which is the really interesting part. Similarly, there's mythos creatures that we've sort of, you know, given short shrift to that are better at explicating things. The Migo were great for the Men in Black, right? They were perfect for that paranoia. There are other mythos monsters that are perfect for corporate paranoia. What is a non-corporeal entity that seems to act in a sociopathic manner and is immortal and unkillable and can insert its control into bloodlines or into individual human beings who attempt to achieve a physical transcendence? Well, that's a corporation, and it's also a Lovecraft monster. We're going to be using the Loigmore, for example, to sort of speak to those kinds of issues. So we've got a lot of things going on, some of which we don't necessarily want to spoil, some of which we're still arguing about on the listserv. But to add to that background, we now have what Scott was talking about. We have to take responsibility. It's not, oh, this bad majestic came from misusing the mythos. It's like, man, gate technology would be totally handy to stop these terror cults in Azerbaijan. Of course, gate technology, we don't know how it works or what it means when we close that contact. And we think it may be connected to this range of brain cancer in Miami. But on the other hand, terror cult in Azerbaijan. So that's what we're trying to do. What you put stuff, mythos, bring the mythos in-house so that the official Delta Green, there's always going to be that core of guys who are the creepy weirdos over the next office. We're like, don't worry, we think we've got it figured out this time.
And meanwhile, that's the kind of thing that can then generate your next mission 6 months later.
Yes.
Yeah. The thing you uncovered and thought you had dealt with has been co-opted and privatized and put out to the
press. Right. The other thing is, just like the guys who all got laid off after the Cold War, they didn't just say, you know, go fishing in Oregon. They all started security companies and bodyguard companies and advisory companies, and they went into the third world, they went into Eastern Europe, and they said, hey, we were so good at running the Cold War, let us run your economy. And many of these people were perhaps...
Who wants to learn about plutonium?
And so, similarly, Majestic didn't just vanish, they're still out there. And so your private contractor peers, your Wackenhuts, your KKRs, your Halliburtons, these are the guys who have all got the, you know, the administration still in their Rolodex, but they don't have to collect your government paycheck anymore, so they can always outbid you for stuff. They've always got something going on, and you know, you think the notion of private enterprise weaponizing, say, interrogation techniques is creepy. Imagine you get private enterprise weaponizing the mental radio from beyond the wall of sleep. That's maybe a little creepier. I mean, these are the kinds of aspects of the mythos that we're going to put in. So there's going to be an internal aspect, the one that Delta Green is responsible for. There's the uncontrollable mad scientist era that has been unleashed by their very victory. And there's the ongoing fact that, you know, we're a mayfly species with a mayfly
system. Yeah.
And there are implacable forces eroding us all the time. That's, you know, again, Lovecraft was saying the same thing. We're saying the same thing. But what we're not trying to do is catch everybody up on every single little, you know, well, what happened to the DeMonte Gold Clan? I don't know. They probably ate stuff. Whatever.
You were supposed to kill them.
Yeah. Right.
That's why you wrote that.
It's your job.
So you got something to shoot. Yeah. Go shoot them.
And another, just to add to that, another thing that's kind of important here is that in the world of Delta Green especially, the Cthulhu mythos, the Cthulhu mythos is sort of, by definition, something which is toxic and dangerous to humanity, you know, and in Delta Green especially, that's always going to be a factor. You
and
know,
permanently part of the environment.
Right.
And because that foregrounds the actual challenge, right?
Yeah, you know, right. If it was safe, it wouldn't be something we could.
Which I don't know if Greg has mentioned his magic rules in specific, but they are going to be less safe. I think we can promise that.
That's a good statement. The last thing I would say is that the game to me has always been about a personal apocalypse. It's been about the slow ruination of basically what it is you are and what it is you do. And for the unofficial Delta Green, things will continue in a very messed up cowboy style with a half dozen conspiracies, all believing they are the conspiracy.
Yeah.
No one talking to one another. Oh, what did A-Cell say? Hang on. They tell us to kill everybody. Let's go on.
A-Cell say, you're a dick.
Which A-Cell?
Yeah, exactly.
The real A-Cell. I didn't call them the fake A-Cells. Don't worry about it.
So just the idea that carries a lot of weight sometimes that I keep hearing is that A-Cell knows what's going on. And with A-Cell, maybe it did it one time. Currently, Delta Green, even the official Delta Green, has a poor understanding at best of even the most simple Mythos threats. The complex ones, like the 10th dimensional organism, which is reaching out and kind of snatching consciousnesses to form some pyramid in the Midwest. Guess what? It has no fucking clue. It couldn't tell you if it had 100 years to study it.
Oh, in the good old days when there were these fish guys trying to fuck everybody and we shot them.
That was sweet.
Yeah.
Never thought I was going to be nostalgic for that.
Well, it was sweet until we got the Human Genome Project and mapped everybody, and oh my God, you are not cleared for what we found.
Yeah. They're inside us. So this will all be carried back to, day-to-day life. And this is something I felt has gotten short-shrift in the game, which is you come home, your car's not working properly, your wife messes you up, your kids are complaining, and you're like, honey, I can't talk right now. I just saw my friend mopping up his guts in Hotel 6. And we had to shoot him and put him in a tarpaulin. And dump them in the middle of a lake. So I'm going to go drink in the den.
Yeah.
Well, that happened.
No, then something reached up and took him down. That was the part where I checked out.
Yeah, so it's, I think it's always really important to carry it down to the agent level. Yeah.
Certainly, the original Call of Duty is one that's been doing this as a developing groups of characters was there was never anything left, or never anything really, a lot of guidance and some keepers on how to deal with the time when you're not on mission. That was always a big blank space that intelligent and innovative keepers would pick up that slack and make that go for their group. That's the kind of thing they wanted to have as part of their play. For something like this, where we are operating under a veneer of normalcy, those kind of trying to maintain those illusions of the normal life are going to be an important mechanic for the game.
Yeah, imagine McNulty building the bunk beds for his children while drunk after having a lot of shot. It'll be very much.
You would rank for the wire.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, the wire is Busby Berkeley musical.
For those of you who haven't seen it.
Yes.
Go see it.
All right. So let's, if there are any questions, let's field some of those and sort of see what people want to talk about most.
Say who you want to answer the question.
Say
Greg Stolte.
I just have a comment. I can see this makes a better explanation about how the cult of personality and rise of reality stars and business, the celebrification of the Kardashians and Honey Boo Boo and such.
Oh, we're talking about the Mythos. I'm not fucking up by talking about really scary shit. Let's back that down. Okay.
Well, we found what scares them.
All right.
Can we get back to...
Don't use the C word.
Can we get back to mass murder?
Any plans to like a Cold War setting, so 50s to 80s, like a bit like Sandbaggers and Mythos?
No. Oh, wow, now I've got a boner. Thanks for saying Sandbaggers.
I was going to say, stop licking Scott. It's very hard for us to fix it.
I think that would
be a
Yeah, I think that would be a great thing to spin up after the World War II.
Yeah, World War II.
After the World War II.
Because after all, Cold War follows World War II. And all the order.
Well, I mean, part of it also is that we're going to have to take stock after the books come out and find out what kind of contemporary game we're playing.
Yeah.
We're not doing Delta Green as the capstone on a long historical series of books.
Yeah.
World War II is there because we've literally got you know,
200,
the length of your arm of pages worth of this thing that poor Gil has been cranking out in his basement dungeon.
And of course, Dennis and I have been publishing for World War II with Godlike for 10 years already, so it's not a stretch.
Yeah, so like I said, World War II is pretty much, you know, ABD.
It's a piece of shrapnel we have.
But what we don't necessarily want to do is be doing, you know, Delta Green 1956, Delta Green in the Six-Day War, Delta Green in Vietnam, Delta Green
in
the
distinction between stuff we like to do and stuff we're going to actually have time to do.
Yeah. So while Sandbagger's Delta Green, or Sandbagger's Pisces, is a beautiful, lovely idea, I think that our first priority is really going to have to be exploring whatever brave new world has been emerging in the front pages between finishing writing and publication.
Right, right.
Oh my God, you were fighting a secret war in Bolivia this whole time?
Yes. But yeah, I love the idea.
So you keep talking about the official and the unofficial Delta Green. From what I was hearing, that it sounds like the official Delta Green is the default option for player characters. Are there going to be options for unofficial Delta Green, or are they just a new set of
attacks? If you want to run your game starting like that, you can start.
Yeah, basically the way it works
is switch off the stuff that gets you the good stuff and the bad stuff, and go for the rest of the laws.
Yeah.
There you go.
There will be, you know, I really want to put in a bunch of heavy stuff on just, you know, how fucked up is your own personal Delta Green experience. You know, you're homemade, it's homebrew Delta Green. It's basically like, I was in C-Cell once, that was 1995, and I just kept running it. No one tells me what to do.
You're like an Al-Qaeda cell, but without the outside direction.
Yeah, not that the players would even know that. Yeah. That's the worst part. If the agents who have been recruited believe they're probably part of an official, yet very secret organization.
Yeah, the false flag is going to get waved a lot in the Delta Green.
Yeah, but the upshot for that also for players is that that gives you the chance to if you're perfectly happy with the way gameplay works and the way Delta Green works as a group, it's not going to be a really hard shift over. You know, there's going to be wrinkles and twists, but you have the tools and authority to keep playing the game the way you've been playing it.
I don't think there's anyone playing Delta Green now who can't handle wrinkles and shifts.
Yeah. Well, along those lines, you mentioned this being a kind of, if it was written down as opposed to an unskeletal trip, is this supposed to be a progression narratively of this is what Delta Green was and what the culture for? Is that story?
Yeah, that's going to be.
Well, we're
kind
not
of
turning
a
out the history by the roots.
Yeah,
you know, your spin up background material is going to be distillation of material from earlier books, but it's going to be highly distilled. It will also be, frankly, from the point of view of 2014, so that what was important in that history, as described in 1997, is not going to be. The same way.
If you look back at the Clinton administration now, you might talk less about blowjobs.
Nah.
Caleb, you had
your own. Can the illegal and legal conspiracy coexist within the same setting? Are there?
Well, they already coexist.
The C-Cell guy, I think, those guys are sellouts, just majestic all over.
Exactly, that's
kind of the default.
That's the thing.
We're Delta Green. No, we're Delta Green, you fucking posers.
There's the real Delta Green and the fake Delta Green, and each one thinks they're the real one. Yeah.
And along with that, if you're in the illegal Delta Green and doing like old school 50s tradecraft, like, how are they recruiting new people like
from
that? Like, if I've never written a paper on anything but a keyboard,
old school 50s,
how am I going to learn? Like,
that's exactly
drop passes.
How the Communist Party recruited people in federal government.
Yeah.
All right.
They walked up to them and said, "Do you want to join?"
So there's going
to
be some like non-vet teaching all these 20-year-old agents.
It's going to be, you know, how does anyone acquire an intelligence asset? Oh, hey, you're having some money problems. That sucks.
If you're in the bureaucracy, you're reading a bunch of this guy's memos, and he seems to sort of be pointing in the direction. You think maybe he can be turned, maybe he can be flipped. I mean, Dennis's parallel with the communists is actually a really good one.
Delta Green will be operating like the old school illegals that the Russians used to have floating around in the 50s and 60s.
well, before
the 80s and,
you know,
today. Except they were confident back in the 50s and 60s. I don't know how confident they were. It's just that they were fighting Hoover instead of cell phones.
One of the classic options.
But I guess the illusion that we hope to break is that anybody's in absolute control or understands everything that's going on with any clarity.
Haven't you ever presented that in Delta Green?
No, but it's been misread that way.
People have clung to that comforting fiction that we presented as a comforting fiction.
I was going to say that I ran into Sandy Peterson at the H. Lovecraft Film Festival, and the kindest thing he said to me was, he didn't say a lot, but he said, you know, when I heard about this Delta Green thing you guys were working on, I thought, oh, they're gonna totally screw up this Call of Cthulhu thing. They're gonna, you know, it's gonna be, everyone's gonna be James Bond. It's like Tom Clancy. They're gonna mow down Chagas with, you know, heat seeking, you know, explosive bullets. And then I actually got around to reading it. No, you made it horrible. It was just terrible. There's no joy. There's no, you know, there's no easy route. The cell phones don't help. The computers don't help.
There's a little joy.
Yeah, there's a little joy in that.
But Dennis will crush it out of the
I will destroy it. Yes, I'll
fine. Quick.
How global is your focus?
Not in the first book, but extremely American-centric. All right, there'll be little, you know, you have tiny little amounts of blah, blah, blah. There is a Pisces, but that's it. So you're going to have to wait to follow on books.
With terrorism overseas and that sort of
thing. Well, it'll be the American agencies and the Delta Green remit, because so much more of the federal government is domestic than foreign, will have a larger domestic load. But even the core books will talk about, you know, Delta Green cells within, you know, DevGru or within, you know, whatever that is needed to go, you know, smite Lang or
whatever. You'll be hearing about the American theaters overseas that where American forces are involved. That's fine, but we're not going to spend time talking about a lot of the foreign groups that we
Delta
developed.
Green in France.
Yeah, yes. What are the local groups?
Okay, some of that's being covered in every issue of the Unspeakable Oath.
Yeah.
Right. So.
And then going forward, we may use the oath as a way to sort of uncork little snippets of the setting, like when people write in and say, you didn't mention the Park Service enough, then, you know, Shane will say, you know, Scott, tell us what the Park Service is doing, because this guy is, you know,
clearly needs to
send me a lot of damn
and make it horrible.
Yeah.
Scary.
But, and certainly, you know, doing a Delta Green that's all DSS, CIA, NSA, overseas guys just fighting foreign threats will be playable out of the core book, but, you know, like everything else, you know, you're going to have to do some of your own research and some of your own
Have to start somewhere and we have to end somewhere. Speaking of which, I think we have maybe one more question if anybody's got something desperate to be. Yeah.
I think this is a pretty good one. So, besides like those people, what are good ways to like follow updates and like learn about what's happening? Like
DeltaGreen.com is the main website. And on DeltaGreen.com, there's an announcement newsletter that you can sign up for that gets irregular updates. I think I've only updated it once, actually, since I said
don't forget the Facebook
page. But it's mainly for announcements. Yeah, Delta Green has a Facebook page. The Delta Green mailing list on Yahoo, it's a Yahoo group.
Just like
DG list,
now,
I think.
Facebook's over. Scott was with it. So you just heard of Facebook.
So yeah, the Delta Green is a great place for just questions and bouncing ideas around. It has a fairly
active
community. But the announcement list is a separate list, and that's just for one way, you know, for us to say we've got something coming up and to pay attention to. So those are the website, the two lists. Those are sort of your best.
You guys funny races.
Yeah, you bet. Okay, so I'm going to head to the back, and please give your tickets as you're filing out. And thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.